Welcome this morning to Prayer Ministry 101. I'm Ali, and just to say right at the start of the seminar that there is some translation happening in this seminar. So if you hear whispering, it's not that people are just having their own conversation, it's that they are listening but in their own language. So welcome. Well, this morning we're talking about Prayer Ministry 101. How many of you have been to a Soul Survivor event before? Quite a few of you. Okay, well, if you've been to a Soul Survivor event before, and if you haven't, don't worry, all will become clear, is other than last night, pretty much, probably all of our meetings, we will make sure that we clear the decks for God to do whatever he wants to do, where we specifically and purposefully make room for him to minister to his people. And what that looks like usually, now, it can happen any time in our meeting. Sometimes it might be after the worship. If we get a sense that he's saying, I want to do something, I want to meet with people in a particular way, we will make space for him. But regardless of when, we will always, after the talk has been given, we will always give a very purposeful pause and make sure that we're giving room for the Holy Spirit to move. And when we do that, usually what we would say is there'd be something in particular that we sense that he wants to do. And so we might say, if this word has spoken to you, or if you're sensing that God is meeting with you, or if you would like prayer for healing, or whatever the thing is, we will usually say, come forward to the front because we want to pray for you. And so the type of prayer that we're talking about this morning, when you see prayer ministry in the title of the seminar that you've come to today, the type of prayer that we're talking about is different to, say, a prayer meeting, or when, you know, you might get together specifically to pray about a certain thing. Because really what this is about making room and making space for God to be at work. And really, when we talk about prayer ministry, although we're going to go on to talk about our role in this and how we're going to minister to one another, because when that person has said, yes, that's me, I would like the Lord to meet with me in that way, I would like prayer for this, what we're talking about is God doing a ministry, working in their hearts, particularly on them. But we're going to go and stand alongside them. That'll be the next thing, is that from the stage we'll say, now other people, come and join them. Come and lay a hand on. Come and pray for them. And this is what we're talking about. So we're going to, in a moment, talk about our role, what it looks like for us to get involved in that. But the first thing I want to say is the pressure is not on us. We need to really remember this as we go and look through everything else. The pressure is not on us. The responsibility always is with God. We're clearing the decks, making room for him to be at work, for him to meet with, for him to speak to his people. So if you're thinking, I think I'd like to give it a go, just so you know from the get-go, the pressure is not on you. The Bible gives us a couple of pictures that might be helpful for us to have in our mind if we're thinking about praying for someone in this way. One of the pictures is in Luke 11. And in Luke 11, verse 5, Jesus tells a story, a parable, of a guy that says he goes to his friend in the middle of the night. He goes to his friend and says, hey, friend, I've got another friend that's on a journey. And this friend, he's on a journey. He stopped his journey at my house and he needs food. But my cupboards are bare. I've got nothing for him. But I recognize that you do. You've got food in your cupboard. Please, would you give me food to give to my friend? And in that story, when it comes to prayer ministry, we're the person that goes to our friend, that's God, and we say, I have another friend, that's the person we're about to lay hands on, and I don't have what they need. If they're coming looking for healing, I can't heal. If they're coming looking for encouragement, I don't have that from within me. And actually, what we want to purposefully say is, I'm going to come before you, God, and recognize that my cupboard is bare. I never want to fall into the trap of thinking that maybe I do have something for them, because I don't. Maybe if I prayed the right prayer, they might feel encouraged. Maybe if I came up with the right words, they might be healed. No, it's going to come from him, from his hand, from his heart. We are the ones that just say, I don't have what they need. You do. That's one picture that we're going to hold on to when we're going to get involved in praying for ministry, when we're praying for people in the ministry time. Another picture that might be helpful to you is in Luke chapter 5, where we read the story of some friends who, their friend needed healing. So he was paralyzed, and they couldn't get him to Jesus. There were so many people pressed in around Jesus in this house that they couldn't get anywhere near, but they were determined. And so they make a hole in the roof, they lower the man down. And what happens is when the man appears in front of Jesus through the roof, right in front of him, it says, it says that when Jesus saw their faith, that's when he healed the man. And in that story, when it comes to prayer ministry, we're the friends. Whether you know the person praying for that you're going to be praying for or not, we're the friends. And what we're doing is we are bringing that person in front of Jesus. We're saying they have a need. Lord, would you come and meet them? Lord, would you come and meet that need? So again, to just underline, the responsibility is on him. It's not about us having or having healing in our back pocket. You know, here I've got a healing for you. It's not about us. You know, I can anoint you for the work of, say, an evangelist. No, it's going to be him. So we're going to hold on to that. And our role, there's another picture now, not from the Bible, but our role is we need to think of ourselves more like waiters and waitresses. And so when we go to pray for someone, it's kind of like the idea of we look at them, and as they stand there, it's like we say, what would you like? What would you like? And they say, I'd like some healing. And we take down their order. They'd like some healing. And we take that order to the chef. And the chef is the Lord. And we say, this person in front, what they're looking for is healing. We don't prepare the meal. We cannot prepare the meal. We're just involved in helping deliver it. That's what our role is going to be. And in that sense, and in all of the senses, but this is where prayer ministry is fun. When you take the responsibility off yourself, when you say, I know already that I can't heal, when you take that off, then it becomes more like, what are you going to do, God? What have you got in your cupboard for them? How are you going to do this? I'm going to stand alongside them, but the pressure's completely off me. This is my sweet spot because I don't know. Then it becomes fun. And we're just going to look and wait and see what it is that he wants to do. And because the responsibility isn't on us, this means that prayer ministry is for everyone. So it's not about whether you woke up this morning and you just think, hey, I think it's going to be a holy day. I think maybe I could just float into the meeting today and just even look at someone and they'll just be like, oh my goodness, what must I do to be saved? You know, because the pressure's not on us. We can all do this regardless of how we're feeling. Mike always says, if you love Jesus and breathe oxygen, you can pray for someone. And that's going to be our rule this week. If you love him and you are alive, this is for you because the pressure's on him. Okay, so now we're going to get really practical and look at then how do we do this? How are we going to do this thing of prayer ministry? So I've already said we've called someone forward and they've identified, yes, that's me. I want that. Or I recognize that God is already beginning to meet with me in this way. And they've come forward. Now we invite people forward, not because the front is a holy place. It's not that we've especially, you know, prayed over a piece of carpet and think that therefore, you know, we have so prayed over this. We have walked around this 7 times and therefore now people can come and get prayer here. It's not that. It's that simply it's a practical thing on the whole, that when people come forward, then we can see who wants prayer and we can make sure that we get it to them. So it's a really practical thing. But also, if you're the person that's responding in ministry, if you're saying, yeah, that's what I want, there is actually something I think quite powerful about saying I'm in. And so the minute that that person, maybe it's you, says, yeah, that's I'm in. I want prayer for healing. I'm in. That thing that was just said from the front, that's me. That describes me. I'm in. Moving away from that little patch of carpet where you've been sitting and taking that step forward can be a really powerful thing and can be part of that process of saying, Lord, I'm open. Jesus, whatever you want to do, whatever you want to say, I'm open. One thing I want to say about that from the get-go is that's a really vulnerable thing. You probably know it if you've ever responded in ministry before, that moment, and it can sound like, yes, I'm in, woohoo. But for a lot of people, it will feel more like, I think I'm in, I want to be in, and now that I'm stood here, now what? Okay, so we're going to talk in a minute about what we can do as people that are going to be praying to just help that receiver. We're going to call it maybe it's bad language, I don't know, but that's what we call it. We're going to call about the prayer, the one doing the laying on the hands, and the receiver, okay? So we can look at things that what we can do as the prayer to help the receiver just relax and be open to whatever God wants to do. But when we call someone forward, it's going to start when we go and stand with them. The practical stuff that we're going to look at now is I'm going to look at under five headings: stand, stop, listen, look, speak. Stand, stop, listen, look, speak. And this first thing will happen when we go and stand with them. And what we would say is stand in front of them. Get in front of them. And what's normal is, who can volunteer for me? How about you're writing really lots of notes, but how about you? Come here a minute. You have to pause your notes in a minute. Right. What's your name?
Amelie,
hello. Right, so let's say that Amelie has responded in a time of ministry. She said, yeah, that's me. She said, I'm in. And now she's stood at the front, ready to receive. Okay, so you don't have to do anything. Don't worry. You only have to stand there. And I'm thinking, I'm up for praying. I don't know if I can, but I remember that Ali said, that's a bit weird to talk about yourself in third person, but I remember that Ali said, the pressure is not on me. And so I think maybe I'm going to do this, God. So I'm back here sitting on my patch of carpet, and I think, right, I'm going to go pray for the girl in pink. So when I get here, the first thing that I encounter of Amelie is her back. So it's very normal to just want to just stand behind her and we put a little hand on and we sort of say, I'm here. But we'd encourage you, literally go one or three steps further. Go right round in front of Amelie where you can see her. So would you turn? Now we're just changing the geography of the room. But where you can see her, and you're going to stand in front of her and you're going to put a hand in front of her like that. One of the things that we say, we're going to come and look at why in a moment, is stand in front of them where you can see, because as you pray with your eyes open, and we're going to look at why in a moment, you'll begin to see what God is doing. We'll look at that more. But you're going to stand in front of Amelie. And now it might be that God is already meeting with Amelie. It might be that she's already eyes closed and her hands are open. You could do that if you like. And she's already in his presence. And in which case, if the call for ministry has been quite a specific one, we probably don't need to say very much. We can just come and stand in front of her and just say, Lord, I bless what you're doing. Just increase your presence now on Amelie. Just fill her up. And it might be that when we get to the front, that she stood there, eyes open, like, I have no idea what I'm going to be doing here. I don't know what this is all. I know that that's me, but I don't know what all of this is about. In which case, we might say, hi, I'm Ali. What's your name?
Amelie.
It's still Amelie. I'm going to pray for you. Is that okay? And if you want to, you can just close your eyes. You don't have to, but you might find it easier to receive. Just close your eyes. You might want to put your hands in front of you. You don't have to, but again, some people find that easier to receive. And we're just going to wait on him. Just relax. This is your time not to pray. Just receive from him. Just receive. And just encouraging that person, even giving them a little bit of direction. How many of you have ever been to you've visited another church before and they say the dreaded words, we're going to have communion together. And you're thinking, pants, I know they'll do communion different to how we do it in our church. What if I don't know what I'm doing? It's a horrible feeling, isn't it, when you're not too sure what's going to happen next. So just being able to give that bit of reassurance, letting Amelie know what she can expect to happen, might really help her if she's looking unsure. Sometimes you'll see that that person begins praying. They think, right, I'm going to, and so she stood there and she's already like eyes closed and her lips are moving and she's really praying. And again, just encourage her. You don't need to pray. Just receive from him. He wants to meet with you. Just receive. Those words, just receive, they go a long way in ministry. Right, you can sit down again if you like. Thank you. And now your friends will have to like fill in your notes for you where you missed that amazing wisdom from me there. So you're going to stand in front of them and you're going to lay a hand lightly on, as I just did. That's part of what it means, that part of the biblical picture of imparting blessing often comes with the laying on of hands. Just, you know, make sure that they're comfortable with that. If they seem like, oh, then maybe you might want to rethink it. Another reason, again, why we pray their eyes open. So we've stood in front of them, and when we've stood in front of them and perhaps done that very quick introduction, so it's words to a minimum, because this is about clearing the decks. So that would be another key little phrase, or you can put it in your own words, but I like to think of clearing the decks, making space for God to move, okay? So I'm not going to fill that time. And so you've stood in front of them, and when you've got there, they're in receiving position, you're in praying position, now stop. So stand, stop. And the reason why we're going to make sure that we stop is because of where we started. This is about what God wants to do. This is how God wants to meet with someone. This is about him ministering. It's not about us coming up with the right words. It's not about us praying long prayers. It's not about us preaching over them. They will have just heard a talk. They don't need any more words from us. What they need is for the Lord to meet with them. So we're going to stand and we're going to stop and we're going to be listening to Jesus. This is not about just stopping and like counting to 10 and just, you know, waiting on the spot. This is a proactive waiting. What is it that you want to do, God? What have you got in your cupboard for them today? How do you want to meet with them? God, I choose just to listen to you in this moment. Amazing things can happen when we do that. When we choose to stop and listen, amazing things can happen. A couple of really quick stories. I remember years ago, a time in my life, I'd been working for Soul Survivor for about 3 years at this point, and I felt like God had been saying to me, I think it's time for you to leave, Ali. And I was like, what? I love this ministry. I don't want to go. But it was this really growing sense in me that I thought he was saying it was time to go. But that was a big decision. And so I really wanted him to confirm it. And so one day at our church back home, I just went forward for ministry. There must have been like a general call. And I went forward. And that was the question that was in my heart. Lord, have I heard you right? Are you saying it's time for me to leave Soul Survivor? And someone from our church came and they laid a hand on me and they just, they began to pray quietly. They had no idea what I wanted. But after they'd been praying a little while, they just said, Ali, I could be wrong, but I feel like God is saying that at the moment you're in a box and actually you've outgrown the box and it's time to come out of the box. It's time to spread your wings. He's got growth for you. And I knew because of the question that was on my heart that that's what the Lord was saying. That he was saying it is time to get out of the box. That at that time Soul Survivor was. I was doing a very different job in those days. And that was one of the major things. Like, so God had already been speaking to me. I didn't put all of my eggs in that moment, in that basket, in that moment, if you know what I mean. But that was one of the major parts along the way where I knew and understood that that's what God was asking me to do, to lay down Soul Survivor for a season. He very kindly, a year later after I left, said, now go back. Hooray. So that's one of the things that can happen when we just wait. And this girl had no idea, just this gentle word that she said, I think you're in a box. Another time I'd gone forward for prayer because I had a back problem and there had been a word given from the front, a word of knowledge that there was someone in the church with a back problem and they described what was happening to me. And I wouldn't have otherwise gone for prayer because lots of people I know have much worse backs than I had at the time. But I went forward and someone came to pray for me and they said, what can we pray for? And I said, I'm that person with the back problem. And so they began to pray in Jesus' name, healing on my back. And after they'd done that, after a few minutes, they were just quiet. They were waiting God, ears open, listening to him. They just said, Ali, I could be wrong, but I feel like God is saying it's time to dream the old dreams again. And she couldn't have known that she was the third person in the space of 2 months to say almost that exact same line to me. It's time to dream the old dreams again. And I'm not going to go into now all the backstory of what that meant for me and how important that was. But it was literally life-changing. It was literally life-changing because as this word was given, I knew that God was speaking. And so I went to him and I said, okay, God, I pray that you would unbury old dreams, dreams that I have had since I was a child that I have buried. Would you now bring them to the surface again? And would you breathe new life into them again? Would you speak to me about these dreams again? And that's exactly what he did. Amazing things came out of that. That's what we get to do for someone else when we stop and we listen. I've kind of ended up putting a lot of stop and listening together. But when we actually look to him, and it won't feel very spiritual. Most of the time, these things don't feel like, oh my goodness, God, you've spoken. We just get a little sense. You know, every one of us can hear God speak. Every single one of us. As Jesus said, my sheep, they know my voice. And that's what the sheep, that's one of the pictures that we're given in the Bible for who we are. We're the sheep and he's the shepherd. And he says, you know, you belong to me, you know my voice. The thing is, most of the times we don't know that we know his voice. And we're discarding things that he's saying. And so sometimes it's like a little line would just pop into your head and you think, I don't know where that came from. It's him. Give it a go. Sometimes you're praying for someone and they remind you of someone else and you dismiss it. But actually, sometimes what's going on is if you ask the Lord, is that you? Is that you? Are you saying there's something about this person that's similar to the other person that just came into my head? I've had that before. As I'm praying for someone, and they really look like, let's say, my sister. And I'm like, oh gosh, they really look like Joe. And what I've learned is, okay, what is it about Joe? What is it that God uses in Joe's life? What is it about Joe's heart and her character? Lord, is that you? And then I'll just begin to pray. Thank you, Lord, that you've made this person. They don't need to know about Joe. That's irrelevant. That's the way that God's got my attention. But I don't need to say, oh, you really reminded me of my sister Joe. And as I asked the Lord about that, he said that maybe you were similar to Joe. You don't need to just pray over, Lord, I thank you for the work you've been doing in this person, in Amelie's life. I thank you for her passion for your people. I thank you for how she loves to draw people to a place of security. Whatever that is, you begin to pray it. You just pray along the lines of what you feel like he's giving you. Sometimes if you're a visual person, you might almost see the person you're praying for in a certain situation. So, and again, it will not be like vivid and clear and certain, but it's like a sense, an impression. You might get a sense. Sometimes I'm praying for someone and it's like I'll see chains around their ankles. It's not like I'm seeing them in a DVD with chains around their ankles. It's fleeting. And then if I see that, I might just begin to pray about freedom. Lord, just release them from anything that's holding them back. Release them into your freedom. I was praying for someone last week and I just saw them and it was like they were in a cave and I just saw them sort of pop their head out of the cave and then go back inside again. But I could see that just outside the cave was this massive green open field. And so I just began to pray, Lord, where they've been uncertain, where they've been hesitant about stepping into what you've got for them, Lord, I pray you'd lead them into that open space, that place of your freedom. You know, so, but it's never definite, and I am never sure. And even people that I know that seem to hear God in the most specific, amazing ways, it's not about a complete certainty. It's always about risk. And Mike always says, you know, that he determined years ago that he would, if he even vaguely sensed that God was speaking, he would always go for it. And he would rather go for it and get it wrong than never know. And he says, if we give a word and it's wrong, no one dies. It's true. You know, if I begin to pray, then often as I'm praying along the lines of that word that I feel like God has given me, you can see whether it lands or not, even when someone's eyes are closed, often, not always. And so if it doesn't seem to register, or if they even say, no, that's not me at all, they're like, okay, well, let's just keep praying and keep waiting on him. Responsibility is on him. We're just stepping out in obedience. That's all he asks of us. And you know, if we get it wrong, no one dies. If we get it right, someone comes to life. If we get it right, someone begins to experience more of God's love or gets a clearer picture. Think about those two examples I gave you of Ali, you're in a box, it's time to get out the box, or Ali, it's time to dream the old dreams again. They took a risk. And I am so thankful that they did. And I know the one that had the time to dream the old dreams again, I actually contacted her a few months ago and just said, I keep telling this story. She lives in Australia now, the girl that prayed for me. And I said, I keep telling this story about a time that you prayed for me and this word that you had for me. And I just want you to know it was utterly life-changing. And she couldn't even remember it. Because it wasn't that big a deal for her. It was just this little moment of risk. And you just got to go for it. Decide now. That's what I would encourage you, is decide now that you, like Mike, will make that kind of, put that stake in the ground and say, if I even think that you're speaking, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to go for it. Another one of Mike's little lines that I say is, the anointing rides on obedience. So people that you look at and that you see, wow, they really seem to hear from God. Do you know what it'll be? It's just that they've chosen again and again and again and again to go for it, to be obedient if they think that he's speaking. And that's why we stop. That's why when we stand in front of that person, we stop. And in that stopping, we're saying, God, this is about you ministering. It's not about me. I'm not going to pray long prayers because I don't have what they need. It's in your cupboard. You're the healer. You're the encourager. You're the provider. You're the one that's going to minister to their wounds, not me. So I'm going to stop and make sure that I remind myself. And as I stop, I'm going to listen. Stand, stop. Oh, I've done it all in the wrong order. Please forgive me. We're going to miss out Luke and come back to that in a moment. So we've listened. We've listened to what it is that we think that he is saying. And then we're going to pray into that. So we've done stand, stop. We've listened. So let's go back and talk about Luke. I said that when I stood in front of Emily, I said, we're going to pray with our eyes open. That can feel a bit weird to start with because most of the time we associate closing our eyes and praying. But actually, as we pray and we keep our eyes open, as we're looking, what it is we're looking for signs of God at work. Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father doing. And there's this sense that as we keep our eyes open, there's a question in those eyes being open, which is, what are you doing, God? I'm going to be looking with my eyes. Another line that Jesus said to his disciples, he said to them, open your eyes and look at the fields. They're ripe for the harvest. And so you can imagine, if you imagine that scene of Jesus standing with his disciples, and there in front of them a field. So this is not an imaginary field. This is a real field. And he's saying, look at what you see that is actually happening. So in real life right now, there are fields that are ripe for the harvest. Open your eyes. And what he's saying is, don't just see, really see, and see what I'm doing. And he used that as a picture of the kingdom that was ready for change, ready, a whole new season was coming in, and saying, talking about people that would come to know him, they're ready. And then he goes on to say, now you need to pray and ask the Lord of the harvest to send more workers, because people are ready to come into my kingdom, but we need people that will go out and do that reaping process. But when he said, open your eyes, chances are, almost certainly, their eyes were already open, but he's saying, look in a new way. In a new way, see what I'm doing. And so when we pray for someone, we've walked up to them. In that moment we've walked up to them, our eyes were already open. But now as we stand in front of them, we're going to choose to open our eyes in a new way and to see what it is that the Father is doing. Now, some of the really practical things that you'll see when you've got your eyes open is things like, oh, Emily looks a bit unsure. She's never done this before. She's never received prayer before. So I'm gonna just mention to her, this is okay. This is a safe place. Some people are a bit freaked out, like, I know I want this, but I don't know what you're going to do to me. So you can just say, I'm just going to pray for you. Is that okay? I'm just going to lay a hand lightly on your shoulder, and we're just going to ask the Lord to come and meet with you. So sometimes you see that kind of thing. Sometimes you might see a peace coming on that person. And as you begin to do this, you begin to recognize, that's you, Lord. That's the peace of your presence. More, Lord, more peace. Sometimes you might see more than that. You might see tears, or you might see shaking. If we see things like shaking or anything else, we don't need to get worked up about that. We don't need to freak out and be like, oh my gosh, they're shaking. What's that? You know? And we also don't need to be like, yes, bingo, I must be praying the right prayer because now they are, you know, that I can see something happening. It's just that when the Lord comes, the Lord is powerful in ways that we can't even get our head around. And when he meets with his people, sometimes their body responds to that power. Sometimes their body responds to that love, to that peace. There's an encounter that happens. But I want to say this, as you've stood and you've stopped and you've listened and you've looked, don't worry if you don't see much. This is what you hold on to in that moment. God always wants to meet with his people. It's the story of the whole Bible. The whole Bible shows us how determined God was to get close to us. So why would this be any different? He's not absent in that moment, even if you don't see much. Another thing to hold on to is, for some reason, God often does stuff more behind our back than he's doing in front of our face. Often we cannot see the impact. So like that friend Miriam who prayed for me, Ali, it's time to dream the old dreams again. She had no idea of the impact. It wasn't that in that moment I went, oh my goodness, that is amazing. I just received from God. I know a friend of mine was praying for someone for healing once. And so he was in his church and some people came forward for prayer and he went over and he said, hi, my name's Paul. Can I pray for you? And this guy said, yeah, my name's Jack. And I'd love prayer for healing for my knee. I've had this knee injury, serious problems for 3 years. I've always been a really keen footballer, but I've not been able to play football in this time. And actually, I'm now waiting on an operation to try and deal with this problem. But I'd love God to heal me. And so my friend Paul said, okay, let's pray. So he laid a hand on this guy's knee, and when it comes to healing, it can be good, if appropriate and if that person's comfortable, to lay a hand on the place that hurts or that is sick. And he just spoke in Jesus' name. That's taking the authority that Jesus has given us. So it's not using Jesus' name as a mantra or a magic word, but it's recognizing that all authority has been given to Jesus. And so he said, in Jesus' name, I speak healing to Jack's knee. Come, Lord, come now. Now, I often think with praying for healing that then it's quite hard to know where to go after that. Because unless you've got all this medical knowledge and you can go, and I speak to the tendon that joins with the ligament and surrounds the, I don't know. So then it's like you quite quickly run out of words for healing. And my friend, and that's okay. Like if you look at the Gospels, Jesus never spent very long when he was praying for healing. He just literally said, eyes be open, or, you know, or walk, or whatever it was. It wasn't a big thing then either. And sometimes we want to wait. Because like with my friend Miriam, sometimes he wants to speak into more than just the condition. Sometimes we wait because, and we found this to be true, and it's hard to quantify, but there seems to be a truth in ministry that the more we wait, the more he does. Sometimes we have to wait because we take a while to be open to receiving from him. You might have come this week and you might have come from hard stuff or busy stuff, and you just, it's like, how do you get your head in the game? Well, it's not even getting your head in the game. How do you get to that place where you're just open to receiving from him what God and his kindness, rather than like hose you down with, you know, like those massive hoses that that firefighters have, instead of just blasting you with his spirit and taking you off your feet, in his kindness, he does it slowly. In his kindness, he meets and he just gently allows us to marinate in his presence. So the more we wait, the more he does. And actually, when we're waiting, we're not waiting for him. It's not like any minute now he's going to walk in the room, which is going to be weird if this man now walks in, because it's like he's Jesus. Hello. I was just talking about Jesus walking into the room, and then here you are. I mean, you're not, but obviously Jesus. But it's not like we're waiting for him to turn up. We're waiting on him to see what he wants to do. We're not waiting. This is an important distinction. We're not waiting for him. He's here. He's in the room. We're waiting on him for him to do what he wants to do. Anyway, going back to my friend Paul, who's praying for healing, he kind of ran out of things to pray, and then he had that awkward moment of, I got nothing else, God, and I don't really feel like you're doing anything. But thankfully, Jack's eyes were closed, and so what Paul did in that moment is he just walked away. And he walked away and kind of went, awkward. And he went home that night and he went to bed just feeling a bit like, I've missed it. Oh, that was just a bit, that was just a bit awkward. Like, I prayed for him, but I didn't really know what else then to do. And I just sort of gave up, and I'm sorry, God. Yeah, one of those moments. Anyway, a couple of weeks later, Paul's back at church again, and they're having a time of open testimony where people can get up to the front and grab the microphone and just talk about the good things that God has been doing. And lo and behold, there is this guy, Jack with the knee. And this guy Jack just stands up and just says, I got prayed for a couple of weeks ago here. I've had this problem with my knee. It's been bad for 3 years. I've been waiting for an operation to deal with the problem. I got prayed for and God completely healed me. The operation is cancelled. I've been playing football. I scored a goal last night. And this, my friend Paul had no idea that God was at work in power in that moment. So we're going to keep our eyes open and we're going to look for what he wants to do. But we're also going to recognize that God so often does more behind our back than he's doing in front of our face. Okay, we've done standing, we've done stopping, we did listening, we did look. And then the last thing just quickly to say is we're going to look at speak. What do we do with our mouths? Because I've already said we don't preach over them. We don't pray long prayers. We don't open up our Bible and read 7 chapters over them because we're clearing the decks. Now, that's not to say that there's not a time and a place for talking, that there's not a time and a place for praying longer prayers, but not in ministry. Not in ministry. There's loads of... So even on this site, most of you have come with youth leaders. They're a good person to spend more time talking to and praying with. We've got an amazing chat room. If you've come with questions or issues and you want a safe person to talk to, maybe someone that isn't part of your church, your youth group, then we've got this chat room. We've got a brilliant team of people that would love just to spend time listening to you and then praying for you. There are other places... In ministry, it's not about us seeing things through to the end of like, okay, now we've dealt with everything and we've, you know, it's a moment for God to be at work. And so it's keeping conversation to a minimum, keeping our words. But what we do speak, what we do pray is whatever the Father gives us. Whatever he says, whatever we think he might be saying, we pray along those lines. The other thing to notice about speaking, what we do with our mouths, is it's not unholy to ask questions. So if you've been praying for someone for a while, so like going back to Paul and Jack, it would have been perfectly okay if Paul had said to Jack, "Do you sense anything? Is the pain getting any better? Is there anything that you couldn't do that you would now want to give it a go and see if you can do it?" The thing about prayer ministry is it's not a holy date night. It's not like this atmosphere has been set that is all just romantic with this person, Jesus, and then we have to tiptoe very carefully in case we ruin the atmosphere. It's not that at all. Years ago, here at this event, we had a girl who she was being ministered to. The Lord met with her. He met with her in power, actually, and she was bam on the floor, laid out with Jesus. And she was there for ages. I mean, ages. She was there for an hour and a half, just laying down in the presence of God. And we were like, this is lovely. God is meeting with her. But then after a long time, we thought, she's still down there. What if we were like, oh, it's lovely. God's meeting with her. And what if, like, she is actually meeting with Jesus right now in heaven and we have missed this? And then, you know, that is one awkward conversation to make to a parent. And so we sent the first aid team over, and the first aid team went over. And even while she was laying down, they took her pulse and just checked that she was okay. And she was. And at the end of it all, she went up to one of our team and she was just saying what was going on. And for her, she'd come with a lot of pain. A lot of pain. And what happened is, as God had her laid out on the floor, she described it was like God was doing heart surgery on her. And he kept her there a long time because there was work to do. And he was just gently but powerfully ministering to her wounded heart. And even the first aid team going over didn't ruin that moment. So we say, keep words to a minimum, but don't freak out about ruining the atmosphere. As long as our bias is towards saying less, not more, we're not going to mess it up. But it might be that there's time to just, to ask a question like, how are you doing? Is there anything you're feeling? Is there, you know, can you sense God doing anything on that knee? It might be that if you've run out of something to pray, if you're like, I've been waiting here a while, God, you've not given me anything else, you might want to say, is there anything else I can pray into for you? Sometimes knowing when to stop praying is a bit of a one that makes people feel a bit insecure. Like, I've been here a while, like my friend Paul, do I just sort of slink off now? I mean, a couple of things. I think one thing is, because God is ministering to that person and you're just going along as the waitress, you know, it'd be really annoying if you were there and the waitress, you were eating a really nice meal and the waitress is stood there constantly like, anything else? Anything else? Can I get you anything else? You know, after a little while, the waitress, they might check in on you once or twice, but then they're going to leave you to enjoy your meal. And it might be that you've prayed for them, you've given a word, you've prayed into something you feel like God has given you. And sometimes, I'll be honest with you, when I'm praying for someone, I get a sense like, I think I'm done here. I think that's my part in it is done. And then I'll move on and pray for someone else. And they'll just stood there carrying on enjoying his presence. Sometimes I might say to someone, yeah, is there anything else that you want prayer for? Sometimes that person who stood there, let's go back and imagine that Amelie, it's the first time she's ever received prayer. She might be, after a while, if we've been praying for a while and I've stopped kind of praying anything over her, she might be like, am I allowed to go? Like, what happens? And so if you sense that maybe things are done for today, then you could say, I'm just gonna leave you now. When you finish receiving from him, when you sense that God's done, you feel free to go back to your seat, but you can stand here for as long as you want just receiving from him. You're not going to ruin the moment. And sometimes that'll be quite helpful. Sometimes one of the amazing things about what we get to do together here is that we've got days together. And there's a lovely thing then that where there's time for God to take us on a journey. So sometimes he might minister to someone, and let's say that that has brought up a lot of emotion and they've been crying a lot as God has ministered to pain. Sometimes then it's quite nice for people to know they can have a break and that there's nothing unholy about, do you know, you might want to go and hang out in Cafe Uno and have a hot chocolate now, hang out with your friends. But tomorrow, if you want more prayer, get it. And I remember someone saying that to me when I came to my first Soul Survivor before I worked here years and years ago, and I remember them saying to me, do you know what, you can go and get ministry any session that you want, it doesn't matter what the call is. And I did, day in, day out. It was like they were praying for anointing for evangelists, and I was like, I didn't think that's me, but I'm just going to sneak on the end here. They'd be praying for physical healing, and I'd say, no, everything's working fine, but I want more ministry. And just day in, day out, I got, and the Lord met with me, and he met with me in a lovely way that just, the joy of having 5 days together means that he can do it in bits and at a pace that we can handle. So we've stood in front of the person. We've stopped to recognize it's his work, not ours. We're going to have our eyes open and just, what are you doing, God? But we're recognizing he's often doing more behind our back than he's doing in front of our face. We're listening to him and we're choosing, God, if I even vaguely sense you might be saying something, I'm going to think it's you and I'm going to go with that and pray over them. And as we do that, we're going to pray gently, not forcefully. We're not going to force anything on someone. We're going to pray gently along the lines that we think he's given us. We're going to keep words to a minimum. We're going to keep that space for him to be at work. And when we're done, we're done. And there'll be room for more another day. That's how we do it. Just so you know, we're not saying that this is the only way. We're not saying that every church, when you go home, it's like, this is the way to pray for one another. We're saying this is the way that we do it here. And we found it really helpful if we're on the same page and if we're all kind of heading in the same direction. And we found some of the things that I've said today, we found that these things work and that they're helpful when we meet together like this. And what I'm going to do now is, because the main meeting is starting fairly soon, I'm just going to pray for us, and then you're free to go when you want to go.